RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, headline news, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listener, here is the news read by Steve. First, the headlines. President calls for making thorough preparation for Asian Games. Creative economic seen as key aspect to face AEC. Minister Susi, the welfare of Indonesian fishermen has become better. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has called for making full preparations and drawing up detailed plans to organize the 18th Asian Games in the country in 2018. He made the appeal during a limited cabinet meeting held at his office on Friday to assure himself that preparations were proceeding well and reminding that it was an international event. As quoted by Antara News Agency, President Joko Widodo wants everything to be well prepared, including development of infrastructure, means of transportation, and facilities, including the housing for athletes and officials. All these need to be expedited. He also paid attention to prepare airports and public transportation facilities. President Joko Widodo added that all stakeholders have to work intensively and expeditiously while there is still time to conduct checks and rechecks. The 10 member countries of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, will begin implementing a regional economic integration, the ASEAN Economic Community, or AEC, to establish a common market in December 31, 2015. The AEC will lead to a freer flow of goods, services, investment, and skilled labor among Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, Singapore, the Philippines, Brunei Darussalam, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, and Myanmar. The common market, if successful, would create 14 million jobs by 2025 and improve the livelihood of 600 million people across all the 10 states, according to a joint study by the International Labour Organization, or ILO, and Asian Development Bank, or ADB, last year. As quoted by Antara News Agency, ASEAN Functional Cooperation Director of the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, J.S. George Landu, said Indonesian workers have no reason for being concerned in facing the AEC. The government of Indonesia, the largest nation in the regional organization, has claimed that it is ready to carry out the AEC agreement. Minister of Maritime and Fishery, Susi Pujiastuti, has approved that there have been many things done while she was inaugurated as minister. As quoted by Kompas.com, she said there have been many policies made and these have given positive impact for the national fishery industry. She also affirmed that the policies can improve better welfare for the fishermen of the country. Even the supply of fishermen's production has improved nationally. She also hopes that Indonesia will be able to become the access and fishery product supply in the world. She promised that she will keep on innovating, including more productive budget of management. Livestock ships are important to distribute the supply of cows to many regions in Indonesia. Based on the data of Association of Indonesian Animal Protein, the needs of cows in Indonesia can be estimated to be 640 tons in 2015. It boosted 8% in 2014, amounted 590,000 tons. Minister of Transportation Ignatius Jonan said in Tanjung Priok Port, North Jakarta, that the government will increase 7 livestock ships in the period of 2015 up to 2017. As quoted by Kompas.com, he hoped by the increase of the livestock ships, the distribution to many regions can be faster. Indonesia has been offered to be one of the 4 initiators countries of Fisheries Transparency Initiative. Chairman of Transparency Initiative Task Force Prevention and Illegal, Unreported and Unregulated Fishing Eradication, Mas Ahmad Santosa at the seminar of Indonesian Role in Fisheries Transparency Initiative in Jakarta on Friday said that there are 3 other countries over as the initiators of Fisheries Transparency Initiative. They are Mauritius, Costa Rica, and Seychelles. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Ahmad said that it will bring about many benefits. One of them is strengthening the people in the coastal area to supervise the business compliance in the sector. He also said the potential loss of the state each year is estimated 10 to 30 billion US dollars of illegal activities. Therefore, the principles of transparency and participation can be assumed to support the prevention and the eradication of illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing. Indonesia's investment in Vietnam has increased significantly, reaching $400 million. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Director General of the Asia-Pacific Department of the Vietnamese Ministry of Industry and Trade, Lê Hoàng On, said that Vietnamese economy continues to grow. More and more Indonesian entrepreneurs want to have a better knowledge of Vietnam, but the Vietnamese entrepreneurs also wish to understand Indonesia better. Lê Hoàng On said that now Indonesia has 46 investment projects in Vietnam worth $400 million. Trade between the two countries also increased significantly to $5.4 billion US dollars last year. He also said, despite the achievement, the two countries still have a great chance to increase investment and trade relations. Indonesia will host a 2-day international conference on Jerusalem, held by the United Nations Committee on Palestine, or CEIRPP, in Jakarta on Monday. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Multilateral Director General at the Foreign Ministry, Hassan Klaib, said in Jakarta on Friday that the delegates will discuss the status of Jerusalem and cooperation to resolve Palestinian conflicts. He also said that Jerusalem is a complicated, sensitive, and difficult issue as it is recognized as a capital city by both Palestine and Israel. He explained that it is also a holy city for both Islam, Christians, and Jews that often triggers religious conflicts. Hassan affirmed that while awaiting decision on the status of Jerusalem, what Indonesia needs to think over is how to live peacefully side by side among the followers of each faith. Indonesian Deputy Foreign Affairs Minister A.M. Fahir officially closed the 8th Bali Democracy Forum in Nusa Dua, Bali on Friday. On his closing speech, A.M. Fahir stated the discussion and the panels have established a constructive ground of exchange ideas, vision, and steps to further develop the democracy in each country. He also delivered the important points as the outcome of the forum. He said that the first point is post BDF7, progress and challenges in various countries reconfirm as the dynamic of democracy.
It is also important to note that there is no copy-paste approach and no size fits all in democracy. Efforts to ensure effective public governance require sustainable investment in human capital to enable policy and institutional reform. It is essential that leaders and governments address challenges in democratic manner in order to ensure progressive democratization in the countries. In this regard, Bali Democracy Forum plays a significant role in sharing best practices and experiences, dialogue, open partnership, and technical cooperation.
On the occasion, Ahem Fahir also noted that the efforts to ensure effective public governance require sustainable investment in human capital to enable policy and institutional reform. Bali Democracy Forum took place in Nusa Dua, Bali from the 10th to the 11th of December 2015. The forum was participated by 89 countries and 3 international organizations. The last item. Although conducting the monarchy constitution, British assumed democracy system as a good constitution and can be received by the British Kingdom. This was stated by British Ambassador to Indonesia Muazzam Malik to Voice of Indonesia while attending the 8th Bali Democracy Forum 2015 in Nusa Dua, Bali. He said the democracy system given by Indonesia is a better democracy one. He also said that the British will also conduct its democracy system itself.
My government is very committed to democracy. This is the system of government that has served the UK well. We believe this is a system of government that brings better accountability, better governance to citizens wherever they are all around the world. Of course, we all find our own roots to democracy, and there are different forms and slight differences in systems of government and so on. But we believe the principle that the citizen elects the executive and can hold the executive to account is absolutely critical. So the path to good governance lies through democracy.
Moreover, Ambassador Muazzam Malik said that British is committed to democracy as the governmental system which can be received well because the democracy is the governmental system bringing accountability and better governance for all citizens in the world. He convinced that the good government will grow through democracy. Well, listener, that was the news.
This is Anna Lee Woodsurface, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Press Review. A variety of important events that occurred this week are summarized in the press review collected from newspapers published in Jakarta. Let's start with Kompas newspaper. In an editorial on Thursday, December the 10th, this daily writes, "Keeping the situation." Local elections were held simultaneously on December the 9th, 2015, although in some areas it had to be postponed. Implementation of the elections in 5 regions had to be delayed because of the court decisions on the subject of the nomination. Postponement of the elections took place in Central Kalimantan, Fakfak Manado, Pematang Siantar, and Simalungun. Delays in the 5 areas that make the election, which was originally designed simultaneously, finally could not be held, and it meant the swelling of organizing election budgets. Many loopholes to question the candidacy had made preparations for the elections in 5 regions stalled. Besides, political party management dispute in some regions had not been settled yet. Such conditions should be evaluated to ensure the second phase of simultaneous elections in 2017 could be run better. According to Kompas, it is the duty of the Regional Election Commission to ensure the implementation of the elections in 5 regions. After all litigation is completed, all parties hope the election in the 5 regions that have been delayed could be implemented immediately so that the power absence does not last too long. Still related to the simultaneous elections, Republika newspaper in an editorial on Thursday writes, "Not just balloting." Local elections that were held simultaneously in general had run smoothly. It did not cause any social unrest that could have detrimental effects. The elections, which took place in 9 provinces, 224 district provinces, and 36 cities, took place peacefully. Some quick count results began to give an idea about the election winners. However, it should be borne in mind that quick count is not official election results. The only legitimate and legally recognized is the result of the Election Commission counting. Republika writes the peaceful implementation of the election can be seen from 2 opposite sides. On the one hand, this may be an indication that people have started to mature in running their political participation. However, on the other hand, the peaceful election can also be seen as public indifference towards the process. Voting process only considered merely an effort to meet political rights. Whatever the reasons, the importance is peaceful atmosphere could be maintained. According to Republika, promises that have been given by the winners must be met in order not to cause widespread public disappointment. Last is Tempo newspaper, which in editorial on Thursday writes about the slow movement of the Attorney General. The Attorney General should not need to hesitate to determine suspects and alleged corruption cases of agreement with PT Freeport Indonesia. the determination does not need to wait for the decision of the honorary council of the board, who is busy playing for time and only highlight the ethical issues. Koran Tempo writes, the case involving the chairman of the House of Representatives, an oil merchant, and president director of PT Freeport Indonesia can already be drawn into the realm of law. Proof of original sound recordings of their meeting was already in the hands of the Attorney General. In the recording, the House Speaker and the oil merchant are trying to convince the President of Freeport Indonesia that they can help Freeport to get a contract extension. There is talk of Freeport share devastation to the President and Vice President, which then made the President furious. According to Tempo newspaper, the case has become the public spotlight. President Joko Widodo was paying particular attention to the case, considered insulting the presidential institution. Now the ball is in the hands of the Attorney General to complete the case involving ethics, morality, and the authority as soon as possible. Well, that was Press Review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, meet again with me Steve in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on December the 12th, 1925, when Reza Shah Pahlavi declared as the Shah of Iran. Reza Shah Pahlavi was the Shah of Iran or Persia from December 15, 1925. The Majlis, convening as a constituent assembly, declared him the Shah of Iran on December 12, 1925, pursuant to the Constitution of Iran. He was forced to abdicate by the Anglo-Soviet invasion of Iran on September 16, 1941. 4 years after a British-assisted coup, the 1921 Persian coup d'etat, in 1925 Reza Shah deposed Ahmad Shah Qajar, the last Shah of the Qajar dynasty, and founded the Pahlavi dynasty. He established a constitutional monarchy that lasted until overthrown in 1979 during the Iranian Revolution. Reza Shah introduced many social, economic, and political reforms during his reign, ultimately laying the foundation of the modern Iranian state. The next event was in 1937. When Antara, the news agency, was founded. Antara is an Indonesian news agency organized as a private company under the Ministry of the State-Owned Enterprises. It is the country's national news agency, supplying news reports to many domestic media organizations. It is the only organization authorized to distribute news material created by foreign news agencies. The news agency was founded in 1937, when the country was still a colony in the Dutch Empire, by independence activists dissatisfied with the lack of local coverage by the Dutch-owned Aneta news agency. Antara's operation was absorbed into Domeit Sushin news network following invasion by the Japanese in 1942. Its staff played a key role in the broadcast of Indonesia's proclamation of independence and assumed control of the Domeit facilities in the region at the end of the war. The agency remained under private management until it was placed under the control of the presidency in 1960s, when the government shifted its focus from decolonization to nation building. Antara became an institution through which the state could promote its policies. And the last event was in 1999. Erika was the name of a tanker built in 1975 and the last chartered by the Total Final Elf on December 8, 1999. She sailed out of Dunkirk bound for Livorno and with a heavy cargo of around 31,000 tons of fuel oil. As she entered the Bay of Biscay, the Erika ran into a heavy storm. And then on December 12, 1999, she broke into and sank, releasing thousands of tons of oil into the sea. killing marine life and polluting the shores around Brittany and also France. Well, listener, that was today in history.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today's focus is on World Bank recommendation on how to overcome social inequality. Last Tuesday, December the 8th, the World Bank issued a report on the economic development of Indonesia under the title Indonesia's Rising Divide. It was submitted by the World Bank Country Director in Indonesia, Rodrigo Chavez, in Jakarta. The report begins with the recognition that in the last 15 years, the Indonesian economy has experienced sustained growth, which has reduced poverty and boosted growth in the middle class. Unfortunately, this only benefited the richest 20%, while the remaining 80% of the population, or about 205 million people, are still in poverty. Inequality between rich and poor increased and expanded from 0.30% in 2000 to 0.41% in 2014 and 0.42% this year. According to Chavez, this figure is the highest ever recorded in the history, and the increase is also the highest compared to neighboring countries in East Asia. He added that Indonesia is at risk of slower growth and social conflict when too many Indonesian people are left behind. On that occasion, Chavez also recommended ways to overcome social inequality. The first step is to improve public services in health, education, and family planning in the regions. This is the main key so that the next generation can get a better start. The government should also create better jobs and skills training opportunities for workers. Social protection programs such as subsidized education is also a requirement to tackle inequality. In addition, the government must also make a fiscal policy which focuses on increasing government spending in infrastructure, health, education, social assistance, and social security. Chavez stressed, the government also must devise a more equitable tax system. Tax laws that currently supports the concentration of wealth in the hands of a few people had to be repaired. The World Bank recommends Indonesia taking an example of Brazil, which succeeded in reducing social inequality significantly. Brazilian success story could be an example of how government policy play an important role in reducing inequality. The high social inequality in Indonesia, according to the World Bank, is a very serious problem. This situation will affect the current and the future generation. Their potential loss is also the potential loss of Indonesia. That was Focus over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with newspapers headlines. Today, December the 12th, 2015. Let's start with Kompas newspaper, which headlines read, commenting on verdict is threatened by criminal law. Everyone who commented on the decision of the court before the verdict is legally binding and with tendency to influence the independence of the judiciary will be sentenced to a maximum of 5 years imprisonment and a maximum fine of 1 billion rupiah. The provisions are in Article 25, Paragraph 2, Draft Law on the Implementation of Justice and Out-of-Court Libel. Legislation Board member of the House of Representatives and Indonesian Judge Association proposed that the bill is included in the 2016 National Legislation Program. Next is the headline of Sindo newspaper, which read, Restore Public Participation. New leaders, the result of simultaneous local elections, must restore public confidence related to the low rate of voter participation. Strengthening the legitimacy of the people is essential for running the government successfully. Political analyst from the University of North Sumatra, Murianto Amin, said the low participation in the elections should become the homework for the elected region. Realizing promises during the campaign seriously must really become the priority. Last is the headline of Business Indonesia newspaper, which read, Digital Economy to be the Foothold. Digital economy will become the foundation of a new economic growth in line with the launching of 4G Long-Term Evolution Service LTE by President Joko Widodo on Friday. The inauguration was marked by the writing of a digital message by President Joko Widodo, which read, digital revolution revolutionizing the Indonesian economy. In addition to the president, the event was also attended by the Minister of Communication and Information, Rudiantara, and CEO of five operators on the mat with the theme of digital revolution, 4G LTE to a better Indonesia. Rudiantara revealed 4G LTE technology service is considered capable of opening the gates of the Indonesian digital revolution, which is aimed to be the largest digital economy in ASEAN with target valuation of $130 billion in 2020. Well, there were the headlines of Jakarta newspapers over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is news in brief. President Joko Widodo has called for making full preparations and drawing up detailed plans to organize the 18th ASEAN Games in the country in 2018. The 10 member countries of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, will begin implementing a regional economic integration, the ASEAN Economic Community, or AEC, to establish a common market in December 31, 2015. Minister of Maritime and Fisheries, Susi Pujastuti, has approved that there have been many things done while she was inaugurated as minister. Livestock ships are important to distribute the supply of cows to many regions in Indonesia. Indonesia has been offered to be one of the four initiators countries of Fisheries Transparency Initiative. Indonesia's investment in Vietnam has increased significantly, reaching $400 million. Indonesia will host a two-day international conference on Jerusalem held by the United Nations Committee on Palestine, or the CEIRPP, in Jakarta on Monday. Indonesian Deputy Foreign Affairs Minister A.M. Fahir officially closed the 8th Bali Democracy Forum in Nusa Dua, Bali on Friday. Although conducting the monarchy constitution, British assumed democracy system as a good constitution and can be received by the British Kingdom. Westerner, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id. Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Sumbawa to have a close look at beautiful Tanjung Menangis Beach. Stay tuned. Listeners, when hearing the name Tanjung Menangis Beach, you might feel strange because the name of this beach relates to a story in the past. According to the story, Sultan Samawa was very sad to see his daughter who was sick. Sultan had done various efforts to cure his daughter, but in vain. Finally, Sultan held a quiz with the prize that anyone who can cure her daughter would be engaged to his daughter. Finally, there was a man named Zainal Abidin from Lawesi land who could cure the princess. But Sultan broke his promise and even chased away Zainal Abidin. The princess who fell in love ran after Zainal Abidin, but did not know where to go. Finally, she arrived at the bay. Princess, who was faithful to wait for Zainal at the bay, continuously cried, pondering her fate because of unrequited love. That's why the beach is called Tanjung Menangis, or in English means Crying Bay Beach.
Listeners, Tanjung Menangis Beach, which is located in Sumbawa, West Nusa Tenggara Province, is well known for its beauty. This beach is clean, has blue transparent water. Its sand is very beautiful and has light brown to almost white color along the beach. Melodious wave, fresh wind will make us able to find comfort at the beach. Tanjung Menangis Beach does not have white shipyard, but the shipyard has many color coral reefs and fish. Its location, which is far from the crowds, will make you like to stay for a longer time. Listeners, if you want to go to Tanjung Menangis Beach, it will be a quite long journey because you have to go to Lombok first and then to Sumbawa. If you go by a bus, it takes around 2 days from Jakarta. Arriving in Lombok, you have to take a bus from Mataram to Sumbawa. It takes around 3 until 4 hours. Even though there is no public transportation to Tanjung Menangis Beach, it is not difficult to find it. So, you can drive your own car or you can rent a car. The trip takes around 30 minutes from Sumbawa City. Listeners, at Tanjung Menangis Beach, there is a lighthouse tower to observe the situation of the sea. Sometimes, visitors climb the tower to see the beautiful panorama. Despite a bit tense, but if you are on the top of the tower, you will be amazed and forget your fear. There are also people who jump to the beach from the tower, not to commit suicide, but they want to swim. It is fun and exciting. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Tanjung Menangis Beach in West Nusa Tenggara Province. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition to shortwave 9525 kHz, you can also listen to this program through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id or through RRR Play and RRR Reward Service mobile application on your smartphones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Nadia Almira Putri, born in Yogyakarta, 4th May 1997. Nadia Almira Putri has been introduced music since she was a little girl. When she was 4 years old, Nadia began to learn violin, and at 6 years old, she joined one of musical orchestras in Yogyakarta. VOI listeners, let's listen to a song entitled I Miss You by Nadia Almira Putri.
Semua perasaan yang telah lalu. rumahku simpang, ku ingin kau tahu isi hatiku.
Setiap saat bayangmu selalu ada, buatku semakin memikirkanmu. Masih ku ingat kenalan kita berdua, and the thought of you is
holding me back, 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 holding me back, 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 holding me back, 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 holding me back, back, back,
holding me back.
Behind the trigger, they're about to pull the trigger again. This is the story of us. Baby, you know I ain't playing games. You drive me, crush me, hit me, blame me. Baby girl, you put me to shame. Like ding, 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 ding. Then you tell me that your phone did not ring. And you're telling all your friends that we're just a thing. Now what you gonna say? It's just not the ring. Go ahead and tell them that I'm fussing and I'm fighting and I'm violent. All the bad things you see in me. Well, let me tell you that whenever I'm around you, girl, you're killing. You will never, never notice me. No.
Nadia has been interested in singing when she was in elementary school. Nadia began her career after she was eliminated from a singing contest in 2008 and 2014 at one of national private televisions. After being successful with the single I Miss You, the young violinist who is under NSG Music Recordings, Nadia Almira Putri finally released the second single entitled You Stole My Heart. In the song, she performed more cheerful and girly. For your listeners, here is You Stole My Heart, sung by Nadia Almira Putri.
Kasih tanda padaku, if you really like me too. Karena telah lama ku merasa ada sesuatu di hatiku, untuk kamu, oh sayangku. Kasih tanda padaku, if you really like me too. Karena ku selalu nunggu message darimu. Apa Facebookmu, apa Twittermu, Instagram kamu, dan YouTube kamu. Kenapa harus buffering dulu? You stole my heart. kasih tanda padaku if you really like me too. Karena ku selalu nunggu message darimu. Apa Facebookmu, apa Twittermu, Instagram kamu, dan YouTube kamu. Kenapa harus buffering dulu? You stole my heart. Kau buat diriku selalu menunggu. Ku ingin selalu teriakan kamu. Say I love you, say I love you, say I love you. You can call me. Kapanpun kau mau, ku tetap menunggu. SMS atau BBM pun ku mau. Say I love you, say I love you, say I love you. Takkan pernah ku siapkan memori bersamamu. You stole my heart. Kau buat diriku selalu menunggu. Ku ingin selalu teriakan kamu. Say I love you, say I love you, say I love you.
VOA listeners, that was a song entitled You Stole My Heart, sung by Nadia. The strength of the second single of Nadia Almila Putri, besides the cheerful and sweet notations, is its lyric telling about the problems of a teenager who falls in love. Nadia Almila Putri has good voice with her typical head voice. You Stole My Heart can refresh Indonesian pop music and is received by Indonesian music lovers. VOA listeners, the conclude music corner for today. Let's listen to two songs entitled Saat Terakhir or The Last Moment and Mantan Terindah or The Most Beautiful Ex-Boyfriend. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Putuskan cintaku dan saat ini engkau selalu ingin bertemu dan memulai jalin cinta. Meski hatiku memilihmu. sini meski hatiku memilihmu.
Hai guys, makasih ya udah nonton video Nadia. Jangan lupa check out video Nadia yang lain di sini, sini, dan di sini. Juga follow Twitter dan Facebook Nadia ya. Bye.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.